This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up in about 18 minutes from now, another embarrassing faux pas from Derek Jeter as he runs the Miami Marlins. But I want to start with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, because an interesting story popped up yesterday from our former colleague around here, Doug Gottlieb, who had Martellus Bennett join him on the show. And Martellus Bennett played for both the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and the Patriots and Tom Brady. And Martellus Bennett said, quote, "I think no one has more arm talent than Aaron. Aaron can pretty much do anything with the ball. I feel like Tom Brady is precise, easier to play with. It was easier to play with Tom than anybody else. He makes the game easy, what he expects, where he wants you to be, where he's putting the ball. He does so many repetitions with you, mental reps, physical reps, walkthroughs. He's always letting you know. He communicates the best of what he expects. The communication between him and the receiver is on the highest level. What you like to do, what he likes to throw, if you ask him to do something, he'll try it." We just talked about Aaron Rodgers yesterday because Rodgers got very frustrated with his teammates, with his wide receivers, at the end of a drill in training camp running scout team reps, and didn't like the effort from them and didn't like the intensity that they were running the reps with and the drive with. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is generally frustrated because he knows how great he is. He demands a lot of himself. He doesn't take plays or games off. He doesn't take opponents lightly. And I think that he feels, like many great players, that other guys, other teammates, aren't matching him. And I think he also feels like the organization might not be matching his desire, urgency to win and win right now. And I think that sometimes that comes off of Aaron Rodgers, and I could see why that might make him difficult to play with sometimes. He is at such an extraordinary historic level. He is playing the game perhaps better than any other quarterback has ever played it. But he does not have the hardware that Tom Brady does. And I think something really interesting happens based sometimes on circumstances that you can't change and you can't control. Tom Brady was, quote-unquote, born into winning the gene pool lottery, winning the genetic Powerball. And what I mean by that is, had Tom Brady been drafted by the Browns in the sixth round or drafted by a forlorn organization that couldn't get out of its own way, Tom Brady might have had the same problems of overcoming this ticking clock and this urgency to win, and then therefore not having the confidence that he could do it, and therefore not having the cachet to demand more out of his teammates, and therefore being more impatient and harder to work with. Brady happened to be drafted by the greatest coach arguably ever. perhaps the greatest coach ever, drafted Tom Brady into an organization that had a defense that was one of the best in football, built by Bill Parcells. Those guys were already there. Ty Law was already there. Teddy Bruschi was already there. Those guys, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, go down the list, Willie McGinnis, so many of those guys were drafted by Bill Parcells and built into one of the best defenses in football and reached a Super Bowl with Bill Parcells 4 years before Tom Brady was drafted. So Brady is not only inserted into the system of one of the great coaches ever, he also is inserted into an organization that has one of the best defenses in the NFL, which the best coach ever can take advantage of because he can elevate the defense to a Super Bowl winning level. I don't do this to discredit Tom Brady's accomplishment, but think of how tremendously fortunate that stroke of luck is. Now, you could say, well, Tom Brady helped Belichick look like the greatest coach of all time, and certainly Brady has helped that. But if you just think about situations you'd like to be drafted into, he was not drafted high so that the organization fell on his shoulders. Drew Bledsoe was already there so he could sit his rookie year and basically redshirt. And in year number two, he would have redshirted again because Drew Bledsoe was the starter, unless they really were really bad. And then there was going to be hell to pay in the media and fans based on what Belichick decided to do. By virtue of this scenario, Tom Brady takes advantage of it. The door opens up a crack and he bursts through it. I give him all the credit in the world for that. But had Tom Brady been drafted by 20 other teams, his career doesn't look like this. And he wins a Super Bowl in year one as a starter, year three, and year four. Now, after that, the narrative on his career has already been set. He's a winner. Total winner. Even though, think about this, Tom Brady went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. Brady loses in the playoffs in 05. 06, the Super Bowl in 07, loses in the playoffs in 08, actually was injured 08, loses in the playoffs in 09, in 10, loses in the Super Bowl in 11, loses in the playoffs in 12, loses in the playoffs in 13. Tom Brady, in the bulk, the heart, the meat of his career, loses 10 straight years in the playoffs. But we never called him a loser, because he had the three championships early. So you think about the flip side, which is Peyton Manning, who was drafted to a team that went 3-13 his rookie season. He was number one overall. He had to be the dynasty. He had to be the franchise. And he had to get it right away. You're starting week one with Jim Mora, by the way, as your head coach. And not a great defense. And what ends up happening, it takes him 8 years to win a Super Bowl, and we call him a loser. He's a loser. He can't win. He can't get over the hump. Even though by the end of his career, Peyton Manning had beaten Tom Brady in four AFC championship games. Four of them. But we didn't call Tom Brady the loser and Peyton Manning the winner because the narrative had already been set. And so I bring this back to Aaron Rodgers. I think this is really difficult in Aaron Rodgers because he only has the one title and we keep waiting. When's the other one going to happen? When is this going to happen? Will this ever happen again? And I think because of that, his patience becomes thinner and thinner. Whereas Tom Brady, I'm not saying he doesn't demand a lot because he does. It's what makes him great. But there's also I've got five rings. I can be a little bit more comfortable in who I am and the timing of everything and how long it takes. Then I'm not saying that Tom Brady is a fat and happy camper because he's not. I'm saying, though, that it's easier to be Tom Brady and your relationship with wide receivers than it is to be Aaron Rodgers. It just is. We're not waiting saying, God, Brady's got to win another one, man, before he retires. The Patriots better get their act together. They got to get this guy some talent. What are they doing around there? They're going to lose in the AFC Championship game again. They're going to lose in the playoffs again. They're not one of the best teams. No. It's all kind of gravy for Brady. Also, it's a crap division that the Patriots will win by 5 games yet again. No pressure. So when Martellus Bennett plays with Tom Brady, guess what? For 16 games of the regular season, there is no pressure. There's no pressure on the Patriots for 16 games. There's really no pressure on the Patriots in that divisional round game either, because they usually play a stink pot like the Titans or the Texans or somebody in that first round game. The pressure on Brady, the intensity and the urgency, pops up in the AFC title game and then the Super Bowl. That's kind of a nice benefit to have. Guess what? You can really allow mistakes from your wide receivers. You can communicate very clearly. You can be patient. You can be easier to work with. Brady is amazing. Brady is a Hall of Famer. Brady is one of the greats of all time, if not the greatest. But the arc of Brady's career has made things really easy for Tom Brady in a lot of ways. Whereas the other guys have to chase and have to have this time stamp and this time crunch and this urgency and this now and this uncertainty, Brady's known who his head coach is going to be every year for 20 years. He's known who his GM is going to be every year for 20 years. He's known what his offense is going to look like every year for 20 years. And he got three of them off the bat, and so the rest of his career, he was never going to be called a loser. There was never going to be some type of intense scrutiny on Tom Brady. How come he can't get it done? I mean, Brady's Super Bowl performances in 07 and 11 against the Giants are dog food performances. That 07 offense is the greatest offense arguably ever, with Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth, and they put up 14 points in the Super Bowl. But nobody ever goes, oh my God, Brady can't get it done in the big game. That was a whole choke moment. No. It becomes the David Tyree game. It becomes the Eli game. So the narrative had been set, and you could coast in some ways. And so when I hear Martellus Bennett say this, I wonder if there's not an element of this where Aaron Rodgers is under so much pressure right now, and the Packers are under so much pressure because they know if they only get out of this thing and Aaron Rodgers only wins one Super Bowl, it'll be, in some ways, a really disappointing career. Yet he had won a Super Bowl, and it'll be disappointing because we know there is more to be had. Whereas by the time Brady was in year four of his career, everything else that ever happened for the rest of his career was awesome, was gravy, cool. You could never call Brady's career a disappointment after he got three in his first 4 years. When we come back here on the show, Derek Jeter continues to say questionable things in his position of authority, and does this really now start to affect how we look at him from a Yankee standpoint? The phone number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I'm happy for you and Merez, and I hope success keeps coming as it did on the DA Show. You've come a long way since the overnight DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
But still a healthy, healthy pour of overnight madness here on the show. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can listen to us, but also watch us. Watch us at watchda.com on the simulcast. Also, watch us in our best video clips on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Watch us on YouTube. Just search The DA Show or CBS Sports Radio. And then also watch us at watchda.com. Rob tweets, DA, had Montana been drafted by the Lions or Michael Jordan been drafted by the Jazz, they still would have won 4 Super Bowls and 6 Larry O'Brien trophies, right? Look, we get it. You despise Brady and everything that he's done is a fluke. We get it by now. We get it. See, that strikes me as a super overly sensitive Patriots fan that really wasn't listening to what I said. I continually said that I think Tom Brady is one of the greats of all time. Maybe, might be the greatest of all time. And not to suggest that he doesn't work hard or isn't incredible and hasn't had amazing moments and huge spots. I mean, obviously, but if you're going to take out of that conversation, which I had, this,
you hate Tom Brady, we get it.
I mean, then you're not really willing to listen to any alternative perspective besides just the, well, he's got five Super Bowls, right? So he's got to be great, right? There's a lot more to sports than just championships. There's all situations. There's all nuance. There's all context. And I think the Brady and Aaron Rodgers thing is really super interesting because we could be watching the two most talented quarterbacks of all time at the very same time, point in time in NFL history. And one has five Super Bowls and one has one. And yet, even if you throw Peyton Manning in there as well, we may have had the three most talented quarterbacks ever playing simultaneously. But the narrative's far different for all three of them. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. So Derek Jeter continually has eyebrow-raising commentary about his Miami Marlins. He is the CEO, of course, of the Marlins now nearly a year in. The Marlins stink. They're 21 games under 500. He admitted last night as he spoke during his team's 7-1 loss to the Cardinals, appropriately enough, that we have a ways to go. No one is happy with what has happened, but we are headed in the right direction. The Marlins had the massive fire sale during the offseason. They traded away D. Gordon. They traded away, of course, Giancarlo Stanton, amongst others. And so now here we are. Christian Yelich. Jeter said, quote, every move we make with this organization is always to make us better. That's a questionable comment because you cannot say trading away all stars and your best player is making the team better. However, you can argue it makes the organization better because you get minor leaguers in return. And what you're suggesting is if our minor league development is better, if our minor leagues and farm system is stocked better, we're a better organization because right now we're not winning anyway. We might as well then build through youth like the Astros did, amongst others, and do it that way. And that, I can argue, okay, I get it. He says, though, we're not in a position of just giving players away. And that does not hold water. Because they gave away Giancarlo Stanton. They didn't care what they got back. They only wanted somebody to absorb his contract. Giancarlo Stanton, say what you want about his strikeout-filled year this season. But Giancarlo Stanton is still a National League MVP with the potential to put up 50 home runs in a season, drive in 110, be the thumper in the middle of a winning lineup, and he's still in his prime. To only get back basically an old mitt is giving him away. And Derek Jeter can't with a straight face say we're not in a position of just giving players away. What was the return exactly, Mraz, on Giancarlo Stanton? What did Brian Cashman give up for one of the most feared power hitters in all of baseball? Again, I understand that Giancarlo Stanton has had a tough season this year and Yankee pinstripes. But Giancarlo Stanton, who is 27 home runs this season, 73 RBIs, he's only hitting, what, two and change, but 279. He's going to end up hitting in the 270s with 40 bombs and 100 RBIs. So what did the Marlins get for a guy who is 28 years old, okay, 28-year-old guy who's going to hit 40 home runs and 100 RBIs on a bad year? What do they give up?
They gave up Starlin Castro, second baseman, and two prospects, right-handed pitcher Jorge Guzman, who was number 9 in the Yankee system, and Rafael Devers' cousin, Jose Devers, not even really ranked in the Yankee system.
So for a 28-year-old power hitter who's been a National League MVP, and in a down year will hit 40 and 100. They gave up Starlin Castro, their 9th best prospect, and a nobody. They gave him away. Because the Yankees were the only bidders because they were the only team that really wanted to absorb that contract. So Derek Jeter's kind of flat out lying right there. And that's where it becomes embarrassing. If Jeter wants to play the card of, we needed the farm system to be better, we had to make some tough decisions, but this is where we're at, that's okay. If he says we're trying to follow the Astros game plan, their blueprint, we've seen this happen in work before, we're focused on building a team that can compete for a championship 3 or 4 years from now, or 4 or 5 years from now, or 5 or 6 years from now, that's fine. But don't openly lie about the Giancarlo Stanton deal. You gave him away. It didn't matter what you got back. You just didn't want the contract. And so that brings us now to the Yankees celebrating the 1998 World Series championship. When are the Yankees celebrating this? 20 years since 98?
I believe August 19th, a Sunday.
And they invited Jeter to be there.
They invited every single player from the 98 Yankees. And there are only two, from what I understand, that will not be there. Jeter and MVP Scott Brosius, but Scott Brosius is on the Mariners staff, so cannot be there.
So Jeter said no.
Said no thank you.
Is that the right thing for Derek Jeter?
I want to pile on Jeter here. He's got
to want to pile on Jeter, even though he's your guy.
He's my guy, but at the same time, like, this is the 98 Yankees. You should be there. Now, here's my out for Jeter. The Yankees are going to celebrate 20-year anniversaries, and this is real piggish, 3 straight years for their World Series championship teams.
Right.
They're going to do that. You know they will. You know they'll fill the seats. He can't go 0-3 in the next 3 years of not coming to these. If you want to tell me it's the first year of owning the Mariners, owning the Marlins, making decisions, and you just want the right public perception of, I'm a Marlin right now, I can't be celebrating Yankee stuff while we stink, then fine, I get it. But he better not go 0-3 the next 3 years, or I think his Yankee legacy is cooked.
Cooked.
You gotta come. The fans love you and love you. And he won the MVP in 2000. So if he really doesn't come back in 2 years for that, that's really sticking a middle finger back at Yankee fans. I'm sorry. He's got to be at one of the next three. We'll give him a slight pass.
But the whole thing is, I think if he's going to say no to this year, he's got to say no to everyone, because what he's saying is, I'm now a member of the Marlins organization. I can't be celebrating another team's success. I'm in the middle of my own organization.
But you know, in Marlins fans' eyes, he is now looked at as the guy who handed the Yankees, the evil empire, Giancarlo Stanton, and took away their prized possession. If he goes and celebrates with the Yankees this year, how are Marlin fans, who he is trying to sell tickets to, going to respect him? They're not. They're going to want to push him out and not want to buy season tickets until Jeter's out of there. He needs to get comfortable and show some growth in the Marlins before he can go back to Yankee Stadium, I'm assuming is in his mindset. But that's not right to the fans who cheered him on for 20 years in his career.
Well, I tend to agree about the Giancarlo Stanton thing. Had he traded Giancarlo Stanton to the Dodgers, it would be easier to go back and celebrate with the Yankees.
He's there if Giancarlo gets traded to the Dodgers.
You think so? You think it's all about Giancarlo to the Yankees?
I do. I think that is a major thing that Marlin fans were offended by. I think if he trades Giancarlo to anybody else, he can go to the Yankees honoring the 98 team.
Well, so if that's the case, then he can't come back for the next three. He can't ever celebrate anything with the Yankees ever again.
And that's a slap in the face to Yankee fans. That's not right to the fans who made Derek Jeter who he is.
Well, I mean, he made himself who he is.
Yes, but, I mean, we beloved him. If we hated him while he was doing all that. Right, you're right. But I'm just saying, the Yankee fans sat there, paid money, and bought jerseys and loved him year after year. Can you come back and tip your hat for one day, get on your private jet and shuttle up?
Bogus, can Derek Jeter ever go back to a Yankee reunion or a Yankee event? This is a really interesting question. He's one of the most beloved Yankees of all time, certainly the most beloved of the modern era. And because he traded Giancarlo Stanton for a bag of beans to the Yankees, I don't know if he can ever go back.
No, he can. This shouldn't be a question. James Shields left the White Sox to go back to the Rays' 10-year 2008 team celebration last weekend. If he can go back, Jeter can go back.
Well, Jeter's already said no to this year.
I know, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous. This is all on him. He's got to figure this out and go back. There's no reason from the Yankee perspective for him to not go back. This is about him, for whatever reason, choosing to make this a story and a thing.
I mean, he sold Giancarlo Stanton for a bag of beans.
We already know that. That bothers us, not Yankee fans.
No, it bothers the Marlins, though.
Yeah, but who cares?
Marlins fans.
They don't care.
Well, you just said that they do care.
No. The Marlins fans, if they're holding that against Jeter now, and that's why he's not going back to placate them, that's just as ridiculous. There is no.
Isn't that his customer now?
Yeah, but if you're not going to go to a Marlins game over that, if that's the hill you're going to die on for all the crap they've sold you in the last 2+ decades, but in the previous owners, now you're going to put your foot down and not go? That's not. Come on. We all can be adults here. He's still, no matter what, he's Jeter. He's a Yankee first. He should be at things like this. And if you're a Marlin fan being pissed about that, then you're all out of whack.
Well, he's also an active employee, though.
No, I know he is.
So he would be skipping out at his own responsibilities that day.
If he was still playing and was playing somewhere else, he should go back this weekend for these things. He can't be separated from them.
And that's the thing. He's going to own the Marlins conceivably for the rest of his life. You would
right.
think the plan isn't to own him for 10 years.
Yeah, this can't be over.
Like, he can't just never come back. That's what I'm saying. He's got the next 2 years on these reunions to come back, or he's out in Yankee land. He can worry about the Marlin fans all he wants. We don't want to see anymore.
Right. He can't choose the Marlins over the Yankees, and Marlin fans can't be angry on a random Saturday when he chooses the Yankees over them. This is what you signed up for.
Maybe he can go in the offseason. I don't know, middle of the season, go to tip your cap at Yankee Stadium?
What, February? We gathered Hard Rock Cafe to honor Derek Jeter?
I think it's a little weird. He's an active member of a different organization, and he's taking time off to go celebrate with another team.
One more,
when his team stinks.
Well, one more off-the-wall hypothetical. The Marlins came to Yankee Stadium for two games, middle of the week, cold April. Is it possible that Derek Jeter was so selfish he wanted the Yankees to honor the 98 team on a cold Wednesday night versus the Marlins? And then when they didn't, because now it had to inconvenience him, this is him saying, screw you to the Yankees?
Is it possible that Major League Baseball schedules a midsummer Marlins at Yankees game over the next 2 years to make sure Derek Jeter's in the building
Boy,
for a celebration?
If you got that lowly Marlin team on a weekend series at Yankee Stadium in the next 2 years, you know something fishy happened.
Where are they that day? I mean, it's feasible he doesn't even miss a Marlins game. He could be in the Bronx in the afternoon and get in a plane in 2018 and be at their 7 o'clock game in Miami, no problem.
Is he even going to Marlins games?
That's a good
games?
Question.
Right.
Is he at every Marlins game? Like, when they're on the road, does he travel with the Marlins?
No.
Is
he
no way.
Does he ever do anything? It's not his money. I mean, seriously, do we know exactly what he does down there except sit in a box and look important?
It's like the old Kramer. I don't even work here. That's what makes this so hard.
Right, if he was actually doing GM day-to-day work, I could see him being like, oh, I can't go.
Well, he's supposed to be doing
that. But he's
that.
Not.
He's supposed to
but
be.
But he's not.
I think it's a fascinating question. Can Derek Jeter ever go back to Yankee Stadium?
I mean, I'd love it if he was the next Yogi Berra and then just he never went back and never went back and then crippity old 80-year-old Jeter gets talked back into finally coming on his last chance. That'd be great, but...
Cut line at Epic Fail coming up here next.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that come football season, Sunday morning football is going to be back for week one of the NFL season. Every Sunday morning right here on CBS Sports Radio, its affiliates, as well as SiriusXM, where I break down what happened on Saturday for college football recap, react, and then also preview Sunday's NFL action. Very excited for the return of Sunday morning football. We were just marveling at the career of Newman from Seinfeld because while watching Space Jam last night, I realized he had played such a major role, MJ's publicist, and then ultimately the last man off the bench for the Toon Squad. Estron tweets, the man's name is Wayne Knight, people. And our Twitter followers, D-Aliens, have filled me in on so many other things that Wayne Knight has been in. He was a movie character in Richie Rich, says Kevin. Preston writes, don't forget Newman was also on the show Third Rock from the Sun. Joe tweets, Newman was also in JFK. I mean, that's right. He was in JFK, another seminal movie of the 90s. Wayne Knight's IMDb is amazing. The man is 63 years old right now. And let me give you some of the work that he has done over the course of his career. Did you know he was also in Dirty Dancing? This guy has done everything. Absolutely everything. He was Stan in Dirty Dancing. I don't remember that scene, but he's in Dirty Dancing. He's in Born on the 4th of July, unnamed, official number 2 of the Democratic Convention. He did an episode of Murder, She Wrote, JFK, Basic Instinct, Jurassic Park, Space Jam, Hercules is the voice of Demetrius the Potmaker. big. Obviously, Newman from Seinfeld. He is a voice in Toy Story 2, Al the Toy Collector. He made an episode appearance in That 70s Show, The Drew Carey Show.
He wasn't the social worker in Big Daddy, was he?
I'm not seeing that here on the IMDb.
No, that's a different guy.
How I Met Your Mother, he played Lily's landlord. He's still working really well also. I mean, he's still getting a lot of work at 63 years old. I'm really, really impressed.
Jack Kay can learn a thing or two.
I would say. He's been in Narcos, The Young and the Restless, Hail Caesar as a lurking extra.
I think I need to work on getting Wayne Knight on the show now.
I would agree. What an American biography that is, huh? He's been in amazing seminal pop culture films and television shows.
Wayne Knight, American acting hero.
I would totally agree with that.
I would change the name of Seinfeld to Newman just because of that.
Just for that.
Yes. But that's what makes Newman great. It's not about Newman.
Did Newman deserve a spinoff more than Michael Richards?
Yeah, I think he did because he wasn't a main character, but yet still had his own way. Like, you could follow the life of Newman, the postal worker.
Could that have been funnier or more successful than the Michael Richards show?
Judging by the way both of their careers went, I would say yes.
I think you have to. I really do. I think you have to. Wow. Dixieland Dan tweets, how could you forget the most important person in Space Jam, D.A.? Jim Rome was the best actor of the movie. It's so true. Romy on TV trashing Michael Jordan playing baseball is an incredible, iconic sports movie moment. So good.
How about that?
Right up there with Bob Costas in Basketball. Incredible appearance by a sports media member. Coach D. Poe tweets, Space Jam and a geography lesson from Mraz. Another quality mothership experience. Hashtag horse stuff. Hashtag what's topography. Hashtag Toon Squad. Just another Thursday here on the show. Dixieland Dan tweets, Space Jam is not the first thing that comes to mind when you say R. Kelly. That's also true. Dan adds, Mike in Space Jam is not the greatest sports cartoon crossover ever. The best would be the Harlem Globetrotters and Scooby-Doo. Hashtag the GOAT. Excellent crossover. Iconic performance by the Globetrotters in Scooby-Doo. And they would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn kids. Josh tweets, please tell Mraz we don't live in districts. Did he learn geography from watching The Hunger Games? You don't want to know where Mraz learned his geography from. You don't. Because he has a full degree from high school and a full four-year degree from two colleges. I mean, it's combined, but an associate's then also a full degree. And all of those places passed him and gave him diplomas. It's
boys,
not,
he's in the middle.
It's not pretty. Let's get to your stories that did not make the cut. It is your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
If someone gave you $154,000 mistakenly, would you give it back? That happened to an old golfer this week, Tommy Fleetwood. There are apparently two official Tommy Fleetwood professional golfers. One finished 12th at the British Open last month, and the European Tour paid what they thought was that Tommy Fleetwood, current, modern, British Open golfer, $154,000 for finishing 12th. Except there is a non-British Open Tommy Fleetwood who's much older, who's a pro golfer in Florida, who does not compete in British Opens these days, and they deposited the money in that guy's account. That guy, being an honest dude, said, I didn't win this, and told them and gave it back, and they finally got it to the right Tommy Fleetwood. But we know this happened because we've got a screenshot of his Wells Fargo app And there it is. On August the 3rd, deposit from Barclays Bank PLC PGA European Tour SRF number plus $154,480. Now, number one, is being a professional golfer the best bit ever? You finished 12th. 12th in one tournament. That's 1 week in a work. $150K. 12th. $150K. Number two, if you were mistakenly deposited into direct deposit $154,000, would you say anything? Because if the wrong Tommy Fleetwood didn't, the real Tommy Fleetwood said he would have never known. He said, I don't check my account. I would have never known. I didn't know this happened. So the old wrong Tommy Fleetwood would have gotten a bonus $154K. And nobody would have been the wiser because the new Tommy Fleetwood doesn't check his bank statements. Mraz, would you have said anything?
Of course not. You put money in my account, that's a you problem, not a me problem. Not only would I have said anything, I would have bought a new house by now. Don't have the money, I don't know what to tell you.
Right? If you get the bonus 154, you probably take it out right away and go spend it so that they can't get it back from you.
Exactly. I don't have it. What are you talking about? I'm out of there with that. I'm going to Paris or something.
Well, Paris won't get you all the way to $154,000. That's a lot of trips to Paris.
No, and I'll buy a house, another house, wherever I want. Pick a house. You get a house, I get a house.
Well, it might be more expensive than $154,000, but okay.
Down payment.
Bilotti, do you tell anybody that you were mistakenly given 154?
I actually agree with Sean, and I would take the money and run. Because you know what? It's not my problem. It's not my problem that they screwed up.
And also, the European Tour, they've got $154,000 running around. So if you take the $154,000 and spend it, and you go, hey, I don't have it, it's not like they're hard up for it to pay the real Tommy Fleetwood. They'll just pay him out of their other surplus.
Right, they have both loads of money.
So I agree. I think you got to take the money there.
I think where this Tommy Fleetwood went wrong, he probably does take the money eventually, but he knew it was going to go public because he had to stupidly screenshot it and send it to people to make a big deal about it. Don't tell anybody. Just keep the money to yourself.
Just keep the money. I don't think I would have said anything.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about your epic fail, Mraz's geography, as we potentially plan a trip to Boise?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mike is in Abilene, Texas, listening to 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio.
Got to touch on this Boise trip, though. First off, Mraz, you let me down, man. I always hold you in high esteem as the most, you know, one of the most knowledgeable of the crew. It's literally like almost 3,000 miles from New York to Boise, so there's that. So what? It's an extra 2 hours?
Cleveland would be 8 hours, so how much longer to Boise? Another two?
What? It's an extra 2 hours? No, it's not. It's an extra 28 hours. So I have to touch on the...
Oh, then I'll go back. I'll put Montana.
Okay, that would be your final answer.
Because I don't have another one, so I'm going to go Montana.
You would think that Montana perhaps borders Arizona. Now think about the topography of those two states.
I don't want to make myself look stupider, but I don't know what topography means.
Think about the climate of those two states.
Okay, I know Arizona's hot.
Right.
Is Montana cold?
You wouldn't know.
I would not know. I would not know. I know they do horse stuff there, so probably warm.
What is horse stuff?
Why don't they ride horses? They probably rode horses to the game in 1908. You want them to ride horses down to Deegan out of the game, too?
Like equestrian and, you know, rattles and ranches and all that stuff.
Rattles? What's rattles?
Like, I'm sorry, cattles and ranches.
Cattles and ranches.
Yeah.
French onion, bacon, horseradish, buttermilk, ranch.
You thought it was rattles?
I don't know. It's a ranch. They do ranch stuff there, right?
Buttermilk Ranch.
Okay, there's a lot of ranches in Montana.
It's like a horse town.
It's a whole state.
What a horse state.
I'm really still kind of caught at the Arizona-Montana thing because Arizona actually borders the southern border of Mexico with the United States, and Montana borders Canada. So you actually pick two states that are on the exact opposite side of the country.
I, when you put it that way, I didn't realize Montana bordered Canada. I knew it was up in that district. I think, all right, I'm going to go with that whole area, although it doesn't make any sense for warmth.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Colorado.
Correct!
Yes, I got all four. Okay.
There you go. I mean, it took a while, but you were able to get there.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, man. Bilotti, I think that one might live in infamy. I think that might be right up there with Columbus is a pilgrim and they speak Egyptian in Brazil. It's right there.
This is another one of them where you hear it back, it sounds worse.
Buttermilk Ranch.
They do horse stuff. That sounds so awful. They do horse stuff there, don't they? Montana. You've got Tom DeCelestino, one of the producers of the Jim Rome Show, behind Mraz, flailing. Can't believe how stupid Mraz is. You know, Mraz thinking Montana and Arizona border one another. They do horse stuff up there, right? In that district? What? Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan on simulcast today. WatchDA.com as always. And Andrew Bogish on headlines. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
French onion, bacon, horseradish, buttermilk, ranch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.